Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
To have Jason Wilde join the program, especially when there is news out of 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm good. Saddened by the passing of Gene Hackman, but
yeah.
Otherwise I'm good, thanks.
That was tough. And it sounds like they're going to investigate. It sounds like they are. They think it was suspicious. He, his wife, and his dog found dead in their home. I want to get to a comment from John in MKE. He says, this summer during the Badger State Games, you should enroll Alex Strofe in the 100-yard dash in the group of 90 and above. I think it would be an interesting race.
He's not winning.
He's not finishing.
Jason, have you been able to take a look at the Alex Strofe combine video that we have been sharing on social media and, of course, on the YouTube stream this morning?
I have.
Your thoughts.
I applaud Strofe for putting himself out there in this manner and creating such incredibly viral content. He had to know the type of athlete that he is when he signed up to do this, so he knew that he was doing it for the good of our platforms, for the good of our entertainment. So I want to say, good job, Strofe. Now, I was told that he played basketball in high school at Denmark High School. I was told that he was a good soccer player. So I'm just wondering, and I have not talked to him. My appearances on KBN are on Mondays and Thursdays, so I'll talk to him later today. But I will admit, I'm not going to pile on here. I mean, he has some of the responses on social media have been very, very funny. So kudos to those who have been clever in their replies. I have not joined the choir of ridicule, but I am confused because, like, I didn't see the, I saw him bench press a bar, which was good, 20 times. But I haven't, like, did he just not know? Like, he can't really run like that, right?
No,
like,
he does.
Is there video of the 40-yard dash?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And to Jason, to that point, I said, maybe it's just the agility portion of this. Maybe it is just having to
That's
go around the cones. I wondered if the pickleball court was a little slick, right? And he was guarding against blowing out his ACL or his Achilles. Like, I gave him. So I said, let me watch the 40. And I do believe, Josh, you are putting the 40-yard dash back up on the stream for those who are watching on the YouTube stream this morning. And
oh,
Jason, no, it's not better.
Okay. Well, then I got nothing for you.
Let's move on, as Bryant Gumbel used to say. Were you surprised by the reports yesterday about Jaire Alexander and the Packers quietly, essentially shopping him?
No, of course not. And, you know, that it's very rare on our show that, A, I have an opinion, and B, that I disagree with Tausch on something. Usually, like the Chewy thing, I usually hear him say something. This is true of both Tausch and Chewy, both named Mark, by the way. No, neither of them that goes by Mark. Say something, I'm like, oh my God, is this guy an idiot? And then I pause, and then I think about it. And then it dawns on me that this actually is pretty interesting, and he may be onto something. It's like the human embodiment of the Alonzo Mourning on the Heat bench
the GIF,
where he's kind of shaking his head and they, maybe. But my argument with Tausch was like, you know, he was actually saying before this news broke that maybe he comes back. And I was like, dude, the question was asked of him directly in Indianapolis will Jair be on this team this year? And my argument to him was, if you want Jair, but you have to work out the numbers because you don't want him at $16 million given and a $25 million cap number, given how the last 2 years have gone, then your answer is, yeah, I want Jair on this team. I want a healthy Jair out there. We are a better team when he is on our team. We are a better defense when we have him. He struggled to be on the field the last 2 years, so we got to work through that. But I want him on this team. And that's not what Goody said. The two words that came out of his mouth were, we'll see. And that was because he was already shopping him. He also had an answer in there about how he doesn't give agents the clearance to shop their clients, that he shops their client. He does the trade talks. So he acknowledged that agents probably do it anyway, but he never publicly says, we've given so-and-so's agent the freedom to seek a trade. He doesn't believe in that. So what I did was I reached out to a bunch of NFL GMs or former GMs that I know, and I was like, just look, I'm curious, what could the Packers get back for him? And one of them said, not much. Or I think I said, what would the return be? And he said, not good. I said, well, what, like sixth or seventh? And he said, I don't even know about that. So that was at one end of the spectrum. And then on the other end, there was another one that said, well, I think he'd get much more than that. I think he can still play. And then there was a third who said, I would start by asking for a third, and then I'd settle for a fourth or a fifth. So there, even among guys that do this for a living, they have a wide variance of opinion on what the bring back would be for Jair at this point. And I think that underscores how the last two seasons, you know, between the injury, between the question marks of whether he is willing to play through injury, which I know as an old school player, Chewy questions, and I know people in the building questioned, and then whether or not, you know, he's in a headspace where you can rely on him. You know, I think there's a feeling that he's kind of a strange or odd guy. And the NFL, as you know, is not a place for people to have different personalities. They like guys that are just there to run through walls and do as they're told. And obviously Jair's a free-spirited, different type of cat. So it'll be interesting to see. But no, I have thought all along that he wouldn't be back. I thought all along they would try to trade him. Whether they would succeed or not, I didn't know. But again, when Josh Jacobs is going around the Super Bowl and when he's not talking about the need for a number one wide receiver, he's mentioning corner as a position that they need to add to. And when Keyshawn Nixon is coming out and saying that he wants to be CB1 and CB1 don't return kickoffs, well, he's saying that about a friend of his and a good teammate who he really likes. He clearly doesn't think Jair is going to be on the team either, because otherwise he doesn't stake the claim of CB1. So no, none of this has surprised me.
Jason, so who's responsible for his demise? Because as you know, I played with a guy who was uncontrollable, who scared the hell out of you in the locker room.
Oh, my God.
Holmgren didn't like him, and he wasn't the only one that can control him was Fritz, right? And Fritz made it work. And if Wayne was around for Super Bowl 32 with Gabe Wilkins taking a day off, I'm not saying we would have won, but we would have had a better chance at winning. So
they might have tackled Terrell Davis once in a while.
Was it Jerry Gray that left 2 years ago? The DB coach?
I don't even have to go Alonzo Mourning here. This is such a great question. Such a great question.
Yeah, so, I mean, I blame Goody, I blame LaFleur, and I blame Rodgers. And I blame, obviously, Jair, because it's him. But I think there's other people in the building that share blame. What are your thoughts?
Wow, this is outstanding. Really, like, I'm not condescending, like, Tom Clements used to do to me all the time. No, you're a 1,000,000% right. Jerry Gray is the correct answer, though. Like, it's not his fault that he left. It's he was the one who clearly, like, again, Jerry Gray was a four-time Pro Bowler as a player. Like, the guys called him the OG, because he had – and look, I don't think it's fair to Derek Ansley or to, Ryan Downard or even Halfley to say, well, that they didn't connect with Jair. Because let's be honest, you know, I talked to Jair earlier in the season. He had that pick six in Tennessee. Like, he said, at least, that he loved Halfley's scheme. He loved how Halfley treated him. He liked Derek Ansley. He loved the strength and conditioning staff, which they obviously changed out. He felt like he was on a much better page with the medical staff and the strength and the athletic training staff and the rehab staff than he had been previously. And obviously, the one thing that he did clearly hate and he didn't make any effort to hide was Joe Barry and the Joe Barry scheme. So what's weird about this, what's disappointing about this, what's frustrating about this, and what's irritating for me, because I really wanted to try and get him to answer some of these questions on locker room cleanout day before he saw the TV cameras coming, and it's not against the TV folks. They got a job to do too, but I just wish that whatever that long interview that was occurring across the locker room had not ended the way it did. What the hell happened here? Now, the knee injury happened. I don't think any of us is disputing that he hurt his knee on that final defensive play against Jacksonville. But the way things move forward thereafter, and the day in Chicago where he worked out before the game, said he could give it a go, they kept him active, they were going to have him on a pitch count, and then he pulls himself after 10 plays, that was a problem. And maybe, to your point about Goody and LaFleur, maybe the smarter decision would have been to not play and say, look, I don't think it makes sense to have you play partially. Let's just wait and be patient and play you once you're fully healthy. I don't know if that affected it. Goody said it did not make it worse, but he did have arthroscopic surgery in December. So I think it's probably all those folks, but you're right. For whatever reason, you know, you look at him in 2020 and 2022, I mean, he was a second-team All-Pro. That's a big blanket deal. Mm-hmm. And 21 was the year. I always thought, the only thing that I thought about him was that, and I still believe this to this day, the tackle he makes mm-hmm. on Najee Harris, that he went from being this, because he's undersized, right? Like, Ron Wolf would not have drafted him. Mm-hmm. He was not big enough to play corner for Ron Wolf after the Terrell Buckley incident. But what I thought was always so impressive of him in 18, 19, 20, and up until that play against Najee Harris, was that he was a willing and able tackler. He didn't care. Size didn't matter. He was tenacious. And I respected the hell out of that about him. And then after that, like, you know, he misses 13 games, and he was like Dion after that. He had no interest in tackling.
Jason, the franchise tag deadline coming up on Tuesday. I did not walk away from the Brian Gutekunst comments on Brandon McManus hopeful that the Packers were going to be coming to a deal with McManus. What are the chances the Packers use that tag and use it on the kicker so we don't have to go through another summer of kicking competitions?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to. What was weird about conversations with McManus was the first time I went up to him to talk one on one, he asked me what I wanted to talk about, and I knew that he was concerned that I wanted to talk about the Jacksonville flight to London. And I'm like, look, no, I just want to talk kicking. And then every subsequent interview that I did, Tim Van Boren did one. He was like the one player that wanted us to go out into the hallway. But like, he didn't want group interviews to start. So, and the reason I bring that up is somewhere in the back of his mind, I think he was still thinking that that was going to be a topic, right? And I bring it up because, and I'm not trying to be callous about this at all, but the Packers signed him out of desperation, right?
Yep.
They had gone with a rookie kicker last year, in 2023. Then they doubled down on the concept by going with another one to start the season. Both were varying degrees of failures. And then they said, look, this guy finally got his legal situation resolved. He's the best available veteran kicker. We got to do this. And forget, you know, we're not going to enjoy the couple of paragraphs and Wilde's story and Domofsky's story and everything else about what he allegedly did and presumably the agreement that he reached to make the lawsuit go away. But we need a guy that's reliable, and that's exactly what they got. You know, Tausch advanced on our show the theory of using the franchise tag. That's going to be like $6 million.
Yeah, who cares?
You're going to make him one of the highest paid kickers in the league.
Yeah, but to me, that's worth it, so I don't have to watch the Narv dog boink another upright or have Anders Carlson come in and pull one wide left. Like, that's worth it.
Yeah, well, it's not, and it's not your money. It's not your cap space.
Oh, they got more. Well, they're cutting Jair, the $6 million right there. Once they trade or cut Jair.
All right. Knock it off. You're a national radio host.
What?
You knucklehead.
What?
That's not how Goody thinks. Logic, yes, exactly. Like, if I am trying to figure out if I can afford this pair of Nike Air Max 270s on Poshmark for $58, I'm then looking at my shoe collection going, all right, what can I sell on Poshmark to pay for those? Okay? So I think the same way you do. Goody doesn't think that way. Goody's thinking, oh, my God.
But Goody's also on the record of you can't win a championship unless you have a championship-level kicker. And I can't imagine he wants to go through everything they went through the last 2 years.
Gabe.
Jason.
He said that, and then he moved on from the championship-level kicker and drafted a guy who made 58% of his kicks in college.
Because he didn't think they were a championship-level team year one with Jordan Love.
Hold on, Jason, I think that let me just try to nail this down. What Gabe is saying is the frustration that the organization went through, the frustration the fan base went through as they brought in kickers and they stunk and they brought in a kicker and they stunk and they underperformed, he thinks it's worth it to overpay for somebody who is consistent and reliable. That's all he's saying.
Jen, I didn't need you to Jen-splain that. I know what he's saying.
But sometimes our loyal listeners get lost in the shuffle, guys. Like, sometimes people who are listening get lost in the minutia. So I just wanted to make sure we nail down what the concept is that Gabe is defending.
I agree with him. If I may, I thought the Poshmark comp was pretty good, by the way.
It was pretty good.
We were talking about shoes, and you have a lot of shoes. They don't have a lot of kickers. They need a kicker. They need somebody who can go out there and split the uprights consistently. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of a better comp of something that you need to have. You don't really want to spend money on it, but you need to have it.
You're critiquing my shoe comp.
Well, you said I gen-splained to you a few moments ago, so I want to make sure we're on the same page.
He missed a 38-yard field goal in a playoff game, too.
Yep.
So I don't know if I want to franchise tag that guy. What I'm telling you is Goody doesn't think that way. Goody's thinking, I want this guy, but I want him at $3.5 million or $4 million because I can put those $2 million to use elsewhere. I'm telling you, that's how he thinks. I agree, Gabe, in theory with you. Mm-hmm. I do. But if he uses the franchise tag, then he will have adopted the Gabe Neitzel theory of, we can't go through this crap again. But he's 33 years old, and I still don't think that Goody, I mean, there's been some inconsistency in his history, especially from beyond 50 yards. I'm just telling you, there's a chance that Goody doesn't see it your way and wants him back, but wants him back at his number.
Yeah. So,
Jason.
I think it's not happening. It's basically, Jason. It's not happening, and the Packers are going to go through this crap again.
Hey, Jason. I love
you, too. Man. Yeah, it was a day. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason, we appreciate hanging out with us. You can listen to Jason and Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning. I think, guys, sometimes we get lost in the minutia. Gabe, I think you're making a really good point about the kicker situation. There are other things, more pressing things, that the Packers need to concern themselves with. And to me, this is an easy answer. This is a, let's not overthink it. Maybe we're overspending, but it takes it off the plate. It takes it off the to-do list.
And at least it's just, I mean, it might just be a one-year stopgap and then you move on or whatever, but just, you got $10 million extra dollars that you weren't accounting for that the cap is going up by. Like, it's going up by more than $10 million than everybody thought it was going to.
It's not Goody's deal.
It's not.
I think that's all Jason's saying.
Yep.
It's not the way he does things. So.
It's not.
We have talked on this show, though, Chu, about maybe needing to pivot off of the way he has done things, right?
I agree with you. I agree.
Can't wait for a kicker from Directional State to come in and miss a bunch of field goals in spring training.
Remember, Josh, he told us, Anders part de. We're getting Anders
0%
back.
Chance. 0% chance that happens.
0% chance that we can fix the clock this morning, guys. We have absolutely destroyed it. We actually have a lot of stuff to get to this morning, so we have to take a break. We have to be right back after this.
Make plans to stop by Bunzel's this week. Pick up these fresh homemade specials. Burgundy pepper marinated flat iron steaks, $12.99 a pound. Panko crusted chicken or pork cutlets, $7.99 a pound. Bunzel's own root beer marinated ribs, $6.99 a pound. Chocolate chip banana bread, $5.89 each. Look, I'll tell you this. I mean, Bunzel's, known for, obviously, everything they do behind the meat counter. Their baked goods, their bakery, really good and underrated. Also, stop by the deli when you're visiting Bunzel's and grab lunch or dinner. Bunzel's, it's at 90th and Burleigh. Find all the weekly specials and more on the website, bunzels.com.